Welcome to this week's message from a new church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us,
how are you guys going?
Our website, newchurch.nz.
For those of you that don't know me, and visitors, just want to give you the hugest welcome. My name's Simon with Christy, my wife, and those that are online, just welcome all of you. And it's just a privilege to be able to serve this place along with so many people. And I love Sundays. I love what God is doing here. And sometimes you wake up and you just really feel that there is a bit of a contest going on in the heavenlies. And I think that today is one of those days. I've had a word on my heart since last year, actually, and I feel that today is the day to share it, all about identity. But I think that identity is probably, in my opinion, the greatest battlefield for spiritual warfare, I think, in our lives, because everything stems from identity. So I just am aware that God wants to do some incredible things in many, many people's lives this morning. I'm also aware there's a bit of a contest going on because the devil does not want that to happen. So I'm just going to pray and then we're just going to preach. Is that all good? Father, I want to thank you that our true identity that cannot be shaken, that is eternally secure, is in you. Lord, I know that this is just a hotbed for spiritual warfare. I just pray off every lie and every whisper and every scheme of the enemy now in Jesus' name. Lord, may we all open up our hearts to receive everything you have for us and everything you want us, Lord, for us this morning. Lord, may it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a bit of a different way to start a sermon. Everyone's like, ooh, mate, what's going to happen this morning? So I'm not sure if you guys can remember, a few years ago, there was a movie franchise called The Bourne Identity with Matt Damon, and I love those movies. And really throughout the course, I think it was like a trilogy or there was an extra movie, and Matt Damon doesn't know who he is. He gets shot and almost drowned, and he spends most of the movies trying to discover who he really was, but he couldn't remember, and then he sort of discovers that throughout the course of the movies. And I think that's just such a really concise illustration of mankind, how we are all on this journey in life, whether we realize it or not, to find our true identity. And where we go to find our identity, it changes everything about our lives. Our outlook on lives, what we think about ourselves, what we think about others, how we behave, how we treat others, how we interpret what is going on in this life, our very future, all depends, I believe, on this incredible thing called identity. Everything is connected to this one thing called identity, and it's very, very important, and I really am praying and believing that we're going to get this morning. We're going to come away with a really thorough and real understanding of a biblical sense of identity, which I'm really excited about, because if we get this, it is going to change our life. You will have life change this morning if you get this, if you allow God to speak into your life and you believe and dare to believe what God says about us. So when I say identity, it's called identity, so I'm going to be saying that word identity all the way through this probably hundreds of times. What do I mean when I say that? Really, our identity is where we find meaning, purpose, and value in this life. Where we find meaning and purpose and value. So if you were to ask yourself the question, who am I? Like, who am I really? I'm Simon Burton Drake. I love my middle name, Burton. It's my dad's name. That's my name, but really, is it my identity? Like, where do I go to find my identity? What gives me and what gives you your sense of purpose and belonging and meaning in this world? There are so many places we go to for our identity, our names, what you do, what you're good at, your achievements in life, what you have, your stuff, even the religion you were born into, your behavior, how many people like you, how popular you are, what you've done, good or bad, what people have said about you, good or bad, what people have done to you, good or bad, all of these things we go to find our sense of purpose and meaning and identity. So like I said, a theology, it's like a God understanding of what identity is. So going right back to the start in Genesis, Adam and Eve, they were created by God. So if you have a creator and that creator makes something, the something that they make will always have a purpose. Otherwise, that creator wouldn't have made that thing. And any one of you guys that are a bit creative, you make stuff. Sometimes it's just for your own entertainment or your own pleasure. Sometimes you make stuff because you want to make a tool for something. Everything a creator makes has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Adam and Eve were created by God. Therefore, they had purpose and meaning and value in life simply because God made them. And if God makes someone or something, there is always a purpose and a reason for that. Might I suggest that's just the whole crux of this message. We all have been made and created by God. Therefore, we have purpose and meaning and value in Him simply because He's made us, simply because we're sons and daughters of God. Isn't that incredible? That is the one identity, by the way, that cannot be shaken. Nothing in this world or universe can ever shake that identity from us. And may I suggest, when I'm referring to that type of identity, I'm just going to use the term vertical identity this morning. It's the identity that comes from God to us. And I've never realized this before, but if you read the Genesis account, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it just basically says in a sentence, God makes mankind, Adam and Eve, male and female, He makes them. And then the very next verse, like the next verse, God starts talking to them. Isn't that incredible? Like one verse, God makes mankind. Second verse, He starts talking to us. And that all comes out of this vertical relationship with God. God makes us, we're His creation, and He doesn't just leave us to try and navigate and work out and interpret this world just based on facts. He starts talking to us. He starts directing us. God is a communicative of God, and He's never stopped. I love that. And then the fall happens. Adam and Eve chose to give everything up and ate the forbidden fruit. And so often I've preached about, well, sin and death entered the world and they lost connection with God, and that is all true. But it wasn't until last year that I started to realize that it wasn't just that connection and relationship that was broken. It was that vertical identity that was broken that day. Adam and Eve, because they fell, because they chose to disobey God, they walked away from that vertical identity, that only secure identity that they could have, that identity in God as His sons and daughters. Because they fell, they chose to push that aside, and therefore they realized that there's only another place to find identity. It's in all the stuff horizontally. So when I'm talking about vertical identity, it's our identity in God, and horizontal identity is finding our identity in everything else but God. And we've been doing this ever since for thousands upon thousands of years because that true identity was broken in the Garden of Eden. And then we struggle for the rest of for millennia, trying to make sense of our meaning and purpose and values based on things horizontally. People, places, and things, and every horizontal identity, it was never ever designed to fulfill that need of true identity. Everything that we try and fill our identity or find our identity in besides God is never going to work. And since the fall of man, I just believe people have, there's layers upon layers upon layers of brokenness and lostness and despair, simply because now people are looking sideways to find their identity and things that were never designed to give us identity. Does that make sense? Horizontal identity does not only bring a huge sense of confusion, but also becomes the largest battlefield for spiritual warfare we face as human beings. I really do believe that. Because if the devil can cause us to try and find our identity in other things, then we'll become like those other things. We will completely shape our lives and our future based on a desperate need to find our identity in other things. And if we try and find our identity other than in God, it will always bring brokenness. We make horizontal sources of identity, things that were never meant to be, they were never designed to be where we find our identity, and they're just a ceaseless I guess, source of brokenness and confusion in our lives. For example, occupation or social status. In this Western world, so much of our identity is wrapped up in what we do. Like I know other cultures, it's so much wrapped up in their families and it's healthy, but I'm not sure why, like in the Western world, so often, and this happens to me all the time, you shake someone's hand and you meet them, it's like, hi, what's your name? And then usually it's like, within a couple of sentences, what do you do? It's like we think that what we do is who we are. It's not, because who we are and what we do are completely different things. And I really hated this when I was younger, because there was this time in my life and I was a hairdresser apprentice, for goodness sake. And like people would meet me and like I was just so embarrassed. And it's like, hi, I'm Simon. And usually like, what do you do? It's like, I'm a hairdresser apprentice. Like, what was that? Like, I hated that. I only did it for a year. And then we started a band and we thought our band was going to be famous. So I thought I need a part-time job because we're going to be traveling New Zealand quite a bit. Went to McDonald's, started flipping hamburgers and the band didn't work out. So I was there for a number of years. All my mates were getting their you know, apprentices and earning big money. And I was just there like, what do you do? Oh, I'm at McDonald's. It's like now, it's still a little bit awkward. And this is incredible as a pastor. Whenever someone asks me what I do, everyone has one of two responses. It's like you sometimes, hopefully they're like, oh, they're quite interested in what a pastor does. A lot of the time though, like when you say that, there's just like you can hear crickets chirping and the whole conversation turns really awkward really fast because they don't want to be talking to a pastor. What I do is not who I am. And I love Paul. In the Bible, most of his letters in the New Testament, he starts it with Paul called to be an apostle. And I love that because Paul understood he was called by God. It was his ministry to be an apostle and to serve the churches with that gifting. But that's not who he was. I'm Simon, called to be a pastor. Because that's not where it shouldn't be where I find my identity. It's what I do. It's what I'm called to be. It's not who I am. And if we try and find our identity in what we do, man, either we're going to get really proud or we're just going to feel like failures, either one of those two, all the time. Even as a pastor, you have some mountaintop experiences. You have some valleys. Like sometimes the tide's in with people coming to church and sometimes the tide is way out, especially when the Whangarei Beach to Basin is on today. It's like, because you've got a bit of a sporty church, like half the church. No, just kidding. We dare not find our identity in what we do because we either get proud or we just have overwhelming feelings of failure. What we do is not who we are. Do we get that this morning? What about our achievements? Achievement is a cruel master if that's where you find your identity. We're good at stuff, but sooner or later, someone's going to come along that's better than us at that. So life happens. Sometimes an injury takes place or something. You know, perhaps you get older, you're not as energetic as you once were, and you can't do what you once did if your identity is wrapped up in what you're good at. What happens when for some reason you can't do that thing anymore? You'll completely have an identity crisis. Many of you guys will know Keith Roberts. He was the chaplain many years ago at the Seoul Olympics? And he was a chaplain to the Olympic Village. And when people just lost out in their heats, there was just such an overwhelming sense of depression and disillusionment, sometimes suicidal tendencies, because they had lived their whole entire, like the last 4 years or so, for this one heat, this one race, and they didn't make the cut. Interestingly enough, medal winners went through exactly the same disillusionment because they'd been working for something for so long and they finally achieved it, they realized it's empty. Why? Because we cannot find our identity and our worth and our belonging in horizontal things. Yeah. Only one way, it's vertically. What about what we have? Our stuff. I was looking at an investor's website about this. Do you know there is such a thing? It's called wealth identity. If you're an investor, you want to portray this identity about yourself. So you have your portfolio of how successful you are and how many investments you have. And this whole website was about helping us show or promote our wealth identity because they were saying this is the most important thing in life to be successful. Man, our stuff can just go in a blink of an eye. We get sold this lie constantly through advertising that if you get the next thing or more of stuff, then you will be happy. And you know, you get the latest phone, and that's great for like a month, and then a new model comes out. Or you buy a brand new cell phone, you were so happy with it, and you're running from the car because it's raining and it falls out of your pocket and it scratches it, the screen. That's happened to me before. Like, stuff. Like, if stuff really could make you happy, if things could, then Hollywood would be the happiest place in the universe. It's not. Spoiler alert. Can't find our identity in stuff. The great, The stock exchange crashes. So many suicides happen because of that, because people, their whole identity is wrapped up in what they do. What about behavior? Oh, we're living in a crazy time where our society and culture is so pervasive in selling us the lie that what we feel to behave or a certain way we behave is where we will find our true identity. So it's saying, you feel like you need to do this way or you need to act like this, then therefore that is where you're going to find your identity. And I'm probably walking on a bit of a knife edge with this. You know the old term, and it was so popular back in the day, hate the sin but love the sinner. I agree with that, by the way, because sin leads us to hell. But so many people's identity is wrapped up in their behavior that when you say that, they just feel rejected straight away, because everything about them and what this culture sells them is how you behave is who you are. I want to say that's not who you are. That's not your identity. And story upon story upon story of people that have gotten into seedy lifestyles and transition and all of that, it just leaves brokenness and emptiness and despair. Why? Because we will never find our identity sideways. We will never find our identity horizontally. There's only one way we can find our identity, and that's vertically in God. Hopefully that came across all right. What about approval of others? All of us like to be liked. And there's a verse in Galatians 1 verse 10 where Paul's talking about, like, if I was to be a people pleaser, then I wouldn't be a servant of God. And like so often we take this one verse out, and I thought maybe for the first time, what was he actually talking about before that? To actually have to say that, and I don't think I've ever heard this preached before or spoken on a pulpit, so I'm just going to just throw it out there to you. Remember, this is Paul talking, not Simon, Galatians 1 verse 8. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. Again, I say it again, what we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. It's like, wow, is that even in the Bible? Now, if Paul said that today, he would be canceled in a millisecond. Paul said it, not Simon. I'm just quoting him. And then he says in verse 10, obviously, so he knows that he's writing some pretty powerful stuff. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Isn't that profound? But so many of us want to be liked. So many of us want to find the approval or have the approval of people. I've read a book recently, and Fight Club's great because I just end up reading a whole lot of books. I've read 12 books this year, so I'm so excited about that. A book I read, it wasn't a Christian book, it's The Courage to be Disliked. And not a Christian book, a couple of chapters I completely disagreed with, but I agreed with most of it. A fascinating book, and in that book, it's sort of showing us the truth that if you want to be liked by all people, if you want everyone to approve of you, that is a definition of bondage. Why is that? And then it just talks about the example of being in a room with 10 people and trying to be liked by every one of those 10 people. And everyone, like, we don't think the same politically. We don't think the same socially. There are so many things, like sometimes our personalities clash. Sometimes our humor clashes. I happen to really love my humor. I crack myself up all the time. I know some people that don't. And Christy is such a godsend to this church, because a lot of times lately I'm going to Christy and say, hey, I'm thinking about saying this on a Sunday. What do you think? And she's saying, no, Simon, please don't say that. So there is no way, when you think about it, that all 10 people are going to like you all the time. It's just not going to happen. But true bondage is when we change our personality or change the way God has made us to try and pander to everyone's likes. You don't become the person who God created you to be. Therefore, you become a shell of yourself or a counterfeit of yourself. And that is true bondage. It's not freedom. True freedom is being the man and the woman of God God has called you to be. Now, a little bit of a caveat with that. God didn't call you to be obnoxious. Like, that's not a spiritual gift. Like, there's something called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As we spend more time daily with God, we become more kind and more nice to hang out with. So just saying that out there, because sometimes it's like, great, that's an excuse for me to just like hack everyone off all the time and God bless me. No, it's not like that at all. But there are going to be times when we're doing the right thing, people are going to misunderstand or people are going to get offended. That's just the way life is. If our identity is having people like us, then we are going to have an identity crisis all the time. It's living to be a servant of God, living for the pleasure of Jesus. What about what other people have said and done to us and what we have done? Like our experiences will shape our life to an extent, but we can't label ourselves by our experiences. And this is just one real minor incident, but I just want to share it with you guys. When I was 7 years old, I had a relief teacher at school, and I just couldn't answer a question, so I went up to her, and I said, excuse me, miss, just can't answer, I don't know what to do. And she said, and I can remember this like it was yesterday, she said, well, if you can't answer that question, you are stupid, you shouldn't be in school, you should actually go home now. I went to my desk, didn't go home, I felt like it, I just cried at my desk. And I still remember that. That's just a little minor thing. What about what people have done to you and what people have done to me? So often we start to wear these things like labels. We live in a fallen world. We're a result of so much hurt and bad behavior. Sometimes we can start to behave badly as well. And whether it's good or whether it's bad, we can start to wear all of these things like labels in our life. I've got a new t-shirt. It's not my blue and orange Dickies t-shirt that my kids have said, Simon, you're wearing that like every Sunday. Like everyone, like people are going to ask, do you even wash that t-shirt? I love that t-shirt, but I bought a new t-shirt. Now I'm probably going to wear this every Sunday for the next, no, I'm just kidding. But it's a Hurley t-shirt, Hurley surfboards. It's like there's a label on it, even on the back. It's like this is, and so often we can wear what we've done in life and what people have done to us or said to us as labels in our life, places where we find our identity, whether we like it or not. We go there because we think it's the truth, but it's not. Joseph in the Bible, his name actually originally means God will bring increase, but for those of you that, I mean, most of us know the story, he was treated so badly. He was rejected by his family. He was sold as a slave. So there's a lot of labels or labeled clothing, if we were to use that analogy of identity being like clothing. In his life, dreamer was something people said over him. He was hated. He was rejected. He was abandoned. He became a slave, and slave could have been a label he could have worn. Then he was falsely accused of being a sexual predator with Potiphar's wife. So maybe it's not something that he was wearing himself, but other people were putting that on him, a rapist. He was a convict for many, many years. He was forgotten. All of these things could have been labels that he could have worn. And what about in our lives, if I was just to expand that analogy? Things that have happened in our life or what we've done or what's been done to us. Addict, broken, worthless, stupid, abused, ugly, abuser, mentally ill. So many of these labels we wear like clothes. I just want to share with you a couple of incredible verses. Galatians 3, verse 26 to 27. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. I was thinking about having the analogy of having someone with a t-shirt and having all of these names and then like taking that t-shirt off and then putting on another one, that's probably not going to be that appropriate if you do that visual demonstration badly, but you guys understand there's this whole concept now that the Bible is trying to teach us, and using that analogy of putting on clothes. All who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. Ephesians 4, 21 to 22. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. This is something that we do as an act of faith before the Lord. Refusing to let our horizontal, those things that are horizontal identities, be where we find our identities, throwing those things off, whether they're good or bad, and instead putting on Jesus Christ. And I'm praying that we're going to do that this morning. John 1, verse 12. But to all who believed him, believed Jesus, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. But all who believed Jesus and accepted him, he gave the right. It's not like just an opportunity. He gave the right. This is our right to become children of God. If I can remind you the start of this message, Adam and Eve in the garden, they were created by God. He was their heavenly father. They understood purpose and meaning and value because they were made. Therefore, they have this identity in God. It's vertical identity. They gave that up. They rejected that to try and find their identity in other stuff. Anything else was never designed to be where we find our true security. That was the first Adam. He stuffed it up big time. And the New Testament talks about Jesus as the last Adam because of what Jesus has done. He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He came down and lived a sinless life. He was the true Lamb of God, pure and holy, and he paid the sacrifice for every single one of us. He took upon himself the curse and the rejection and the sin and the pain so that we could be reconciled. Not only that we now can be freed from sin and have everlasting life with him, but now that horror, that vertical identity in him, the only identity that cannot be shaken, is ours again. It is available to us. Once more, that is the best news of all time. And I'm so excited about that. Let me read to you another couple of scriptures just highlighting this. Romans 8, 1 to 2. So there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. 2 Corinthians 5, 15 to 17. Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely as from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. How God created Adam and Eve and that incredible connection of vertical identity and then communicating with them and talking with them and being close to them, that is available to us through Jesus Christ. Anywhere else, horizontal identity that we will try and find our identity in, it's never ever going to work, and it will always eventually bring emptiness and breakdown and brokenness in our lives. We have this opportunity and this incredible privilege and honor of finding our true identity, our meaning, our purpose, our value, how we make decisions, the boundaries around our life, true identity that cannot be shaken. Five words. I am a child of God. Six words. And sometimes when people get baptized and their t-shirts and like I have decided, I'm really passionate about getting t-shirts made for people that are going to get baptized, child of God. Wouldn't that be the best t-shirt to wear? That is the only identity that cannot be shaken in this world. And we have this opportunity of of that because of what Jesus did, of having that connection of vertical identity restored again. The big challenge for us is that we can still choose to try and find our identity in other stuff. And we can be believers, but we can still struggle with all of these things of, am I successful enough? Oh, I was successful, but this happened. I was a great dad, but this happened. Like all of these things, it's like, oh, like it's never going to bring happiness. Our experience is what we're good at. Someone else gets good at it. I'm great at this, but now I can't do this anymore. It's a sad, unhappy, frustrating place to live. Ministry is a hard place to live unless we have our identity in Jesus. I think anywhere is a hard place to live unless we have our identity in Jesus. We have that identity and that opportunity for that identity. Today, let's have the band up, and we're going to sing a song all about identity soon. I'm really excited about that. It's all about how God sees us and what God says about us, but I'll finish with this. There's a guy called Jacob in the Old Testament, and his name meant supplanter. Like he was really dodgy. Like he ripped a lot of people off and he deceived a lot of people, but God had a plan for his life. So his name literally meant supplanter, which means one who wrongfully or illegally seizes the hold and holds the place of another. For example, he ripped off his brother Esau with his birthright. He's just deception right the way through. And then his identity, because in the Bible, names mean a whole lot more than in our society and our Western culture today. So that was his identity. His identity caught up with him eventually. And he is going to meet his brother, and he thinks his brother's going to kill him, so he's just really freaking out. And then God meets him the night before and wrestles with Jacob until daylight. And an interesting thing is said in Genesis 32, verse 27. God asked Jacob this, "What is your name?" Remember, names are all about identity. So in a way, God was asking Jacob, "What is your identity? Who do you think you are? What do you say you are? Who do you call yourself? Where do you find your value? Who are you? What do people say about you? What do people think about you? Who are you? What is your name? What is your identity?" And Jacob says, "Jacob, like, God, this is who I am. I'm a deceiver. I'm a supplanter. I rip people off. I'm dodgy. I'm not good. This is who I am. This is my identity." In the very next verse, God says, "You will no longer be Jacob. Your name will no longer be deceiver. Your name will no longer be supplanter. From now on, you'll be called Israel." What does Israel mean? Now, depending on the different dictionaries, God prevails, upright with God, Prince of God, God preserves, God fights on behalf of. Jacob has an encounter with God, and it's not much fun when we are shown who we really are. But because of God is so awesome, he gives us literally a new identity. No longer do we need to look for identity horizontally. We look to God vertically. That relationship is now restored through Jesus, and we can be known truly and find our identity. And the one thing that cannot be shaken, I'm a child of God. As a result of that wrestling match, Jacob, his hip is dislocated. He walks a different way from that time on. And I think that is really symbolic of when we have an encounter with God, when we understand the power of the cross, when we understand God wants to give us a new identity, that we can now have this vertical identity, when we know that we are new creations, that will change everything about our lives. Jacob's encounter with God changed everything about his life. It changed the way he walked. People knew that something had happened. When we start to understand our identity is in God, people will understand something is different about our lives, and they will not want to know the reason why, because if there was ever a time every identity horizontally is being shaken, it is now. So it's time for us to understand our right as children of God, to stand up and to throw away all of these horizontal burdens and identities and understand, have that encounter with God afresh. I am a child of God. If we can be upstanding, it would be awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.